Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Here we bloody go. Shoulder Footy Cast, the last preview for a little while, Skeeter. Our last Thursday show, are you sad?
Yeah, I am a bit because we get a bit of humour out of each other, a bit of banter, yes. A bit of sledging, wow. And never let our egos get in the way of some fun. and full facts. Now, looking forward to it. There's a bit happened. As soon as we turned off the microphone on Monday, all hell broke loose. Down at Coburn.
Now, we're going to get to that in a second. That is the Southern River Band out of Thornley. They are playing at the Charles Hotel Friday night, Skeeter. So I just asked you off air, what are you doing this weekend? I'll tell you where I'll be, mate. I'll be at the Charles Hotel. I'm going down there.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm doing a police function, but you'll be there. The Charles Hotel, now that's another place
you're
I used to go.
Doing a police function?
It's like a football. It's a football gathering that all the cops coming from
what
around
else
Australia.
Are you doing? That's not what you told me you're doing.
No, I'm going to the races Saturday. Going to the races.
Just down in the bullpen with the plebs, or
no? I'm going to a guy called Rick Hart, who's a very nice man, good friend of mine. He's taking me to the director's lounge. So the beauty of that is that you can drink beautifully and still punt. So you're not depending on drinking and punting. So you can punt a little bit more and still have a drink.
So you can still lose as much as you always.
Exactly.
So, okay. So if you want to have a good night, come down to Charles Hotel, Skeeter. You might.
Well, the Skimpies used to go there again when I was about 17. They used to go there and they had the raunchy, the stickers on their and we used to teenagers go and watch that. Now of course, it's far more civilized.
Teenagers?
I was 17, yeah.
You were in there?
Yeah, I was allowed there. We were there at 17, yeah. Everyone's been to a pub back when they were 17, Scully.
Oh, very good. Shoulder Footy Cast on socials. Bottom Up Roughie of the Week might be a stiff one today, but we'll see if we can get through it. Start your footy weekend at Bottom Up, even though footy is over. Grab your shelters where Bottom Up has you covered. We did mention this will be our last Thursday, so just given we're going into trade period, we don't want to sit here and talk
crap.
More
crap.
Yeah, correct. More crap than we would usually speak to you. So we're going to have a bigger Monday show. Thursday, this will be the last one. So I thought I would kick this Thursday show off with some listener feedback. Usually we leave this to the end with our audience, but we've had...
It's obviously something significant. You decided to give it a bump it up the rundown.
I'll leave this, Skeet, just you can figure out who this has come from. We have kitchen scissors that are weird and they sometimes split into two. And...
Oh, seriously?
And Skeet has gone to use them the other night, and they've done that, split into two. It took him up to 10 minutes to hook them back together after a tutorial from Mum as well.
So if any stage my daughter wants to just shut up, and I'll tell you what, for someone who lies in bed till 9:30 most mornings, feed him. Well, he doesn't mind putting me away.
I'll tell what she's doing in bed. She's texting me absolute gold because this is the text that came out of this ordeal.
Oh, good.
Your beautiful wife, Victoria. She says to Mark, so Mum says... Do you actually think you're stupid? And you say, you can't be as talented as me and not be stupid.
Yeah, I said there's an element of stupidity, but I've got some ability. But it's funny how your ego and your self-esteem gets driven into the ground when you've got people trying to screw you absolutely mercilessly for
family.
Little faults you might
get. A little respect, for I am Costanza, Lord of the Idiots.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to put my hand up as I've got a bit of George in me.
Right, let's get into footy.
You prick.
Hello, Skeeter. Thank you very much, Liv. Lockie Schultz. Let's talk about Lockie. Fremantle. I had a tiny bit of feedback. Hello, Shelter Boys. Maybe we were venturing too much into West Coast land. Well, boys, I played there for 15 years. I'm sorry that I, you know. And also, Fremantle... You haven't even been bad enough to talk about. So West Coast have one of the all-time worst seasons of all time. We speak about West Coast a lot. Tell them how bad that
is. So the feedback was you were too West Coast-centric?
I was talking about West Coast too much. Well,
to defend you...
Fremantle was so boring this year.
But also, what we were talking about a week ago is we don't think they're going to be too active in the trade period. Now, obviously...
This is Monday.
This is not their instigation, but by the same token, Liam Henry was on the table... I don't think anybody, even the football club, thought that this was a possibility, say, a week and a half ago.
Lockie Schultz requests a trade to Collingwood. What is going on at Fremantle?
And I know you've been putting out the numbers of how many years he's been on the list and the process, etc. It's been revealed that Peter Bell and the Dockers were in the process of putting a deal to him, but did the love come too late? That's the question.
Absolutely it did. Let me run you through Lachie Schultz's career so far, Skeeter. He was drafted in 2019. He was on the rookie list for 2 years.
It's fair enough.
Absolutely. He's a mature age rookie, plucked out of Williamstown, a Chuka boy.
Plumber.
Battler, right, and great bloke. We've had him on Backchat. If you want to go listen to that, go jump over to Backchat and just have a look at Lachie Schultz on Backchat. But he's on a rookie deal for 2 years. Fair enough. COVID comes in 2020, his last year of his deal. They cut list sizes. So he gets delisted, but he's allowed to be relisted as a rookie at the end of that year. So it doesn't move from the fact he's delisted at the end of 2020 after playing every game of 2020. He played every game in his second year. He was then relisted as a rookie, still on the rookie list, played every game that next year. Over the next 3 years, he was on the rookie list for two. His first year on the senior list was this year just gone, 2023, his fifth year of football. In his last 4 years of his deal, so 5 years on the list, he played 97% of games. He missed three games in those 4 years. He only has a deal this year because they put a trigger clause in his contract. And so he's got a year left, but hopefully you play enough games, Lockie, and we might give you another year. Why would you not pay this man? He was sixth in your best and fairest this year. He was fifth the year before. The
last 2 years been top six.
He's probably your best forward. I know Jai Amos is coming up and about. He's kicked the most goals under Justin Longmuir. Those 5 years under contract does not tell me he's a priority, Mark Rennings. Try and argue to me that he's been a priority for the Fremantle Dockers.
Yeah, look, and Peter Bell and the footy department will give you a different spin or their view, which is different to... No, they'll give you a different...
So what's
different
the spin?
Lay of the land will be different to the discussions they may have had 6 to 12 months ago about...
Put a three-year deal in front of him that pays him the money that he should be getting.
I don't disagree. But Hawthorn came knocking on his door a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And
stayed.
And it stayed. And look, I think he showed a fair bit of loyalty, and you're right. His circumstances, I don't think I've heard of a player of his calibre, and I know COVID played a part in this, and you listed the rookie, the delisting, and where he's been in limbo to some degree. I don't think I've heard of a player of that stature ever go through that type of uncertainty or you have to play enough number of games to trigger the next part of
it's highly deal. It's highly unique. Brody Majacek, actually, Collingwood have been on the rookie list for a long time, and you can structure the deals differently there. And people have said that to me. It's not like he's getting 60 grand a year to play. He's still on good money. Yep. He's got a good deal. I just think if I'm Lachie Schultz and I look at the last 5 years and the contracts and what I've done for the football club and I'm still having to play a certain amount of games and triggering a deal to get another year at the club, I'm going, well, if someone like Collingwood comes to me and says, here's a 4 year deal plus one, I'm going to have a pretty good look at it. Now, I know there's off field
issues,
circumstances. Yep. But
Forget that. What is his manager? Does his manager have a part to play in what's happened previously, or was it out of his hands? I mean, given the deal that.
Who is his manager?
That's a good question. And I don't know. I stand without any knowledge of who his manager is. But yeah, that's a long time. You're right, he's been paid well. It just seems to me, I don't think I've heard, as you say, you mentioned Majacek, there's not too many cases like this in the AFL. In fact, but for a player that's done what he's done and been as important as he has, you mentioned off air a role player. Well, I think he's even more important than that, isn't he, for Fremantle as it stands. So can they retrieve this situation? Looks like they might get, pick 18 or 19 from Collingwood.
Is that good enough for Lachie Schultz? I mean, Fremantle certainly won't think so.
Well, what else can they get? Pick 18 and maybe an Ed Allen. Pick 18 Johnson. And an Ash Johnson. I don't know. Is that too much to give up from Collingwood's perspective? I don't know.
Well, I said role player. I probably meant he plays a role at Fremantle that is just so important. It's the effort, pressure, goal-kicking, culture-driving player that every club needs. If you get rid of Lachie Schultz, and I'm not saying Freo's walking him out the door, clearly, but if he leaves, who do you replace that with? You can have as much talent or young guys, or you can't teach the thing Lachie Schultz does. And there's not many guys around the competition that can do it. He's that ultimate effort guy. And Toby Green has more polish and has been doing it for longer than Lachie Schultz. But the effort that Toby Green has is what makes him a good player. Yes, he's highly talented. We know that. But from or reports and speaking to Toby Green again on Backshow, if you want to have a listen to that, All-Australian captain this year, it's the work he puts in and playing on him. I've played on him. No guys, you know, Brad Shepherd used to play on him at the time. He's the hardest working small forward in the game, and that's what Lachie Schultz is. So I just think this is in like the top three players Fremantle would not want to lose in, on their list. And Sean Darcy's another one of them, mind you.
Which, by the sounds of it, he's going to sign a long-term deal, which will take him effectively, perhaps in the same bracket as Brennan Cox, to around 2030. But that's still to be played at. But one question, and I know we're a WA-centric shelter footy cast here. It just seems really strange. You've got, looks like from outside, and this is not necessarily the case, that the West Coast Eagles have been very loyal to a large batch of players until recently, and obviously delisting and retirements.
Criticism has been too loyal.
Yeah. Fremantle, if you look at just purely on what's happened in the last 12 months, some of their players, and most recently Joel Hamling, Lachie Schultz,
Liam Henry,
Blake Akers was going for more money. They're not all in the same basket. Perhaps the not so much the loyalty, but it looks like a disparity between what the two clubs have been doing with their players. Is that just a mirage, or is it fair to say Fremantle, on the outside, don't appear to have valued some of those players, whereas West Coast have maybe been a fraction too loyal? Is that too hard?
Well, there's the too loyal, and then there's the performance of the club. So Fremantle, 2015, had a great year, but from then have gone downwards.
Yep.
West Coast go up, win the flag, a bit of up the top challenging, and then have dropped off a complete cliff. They're different
animals,
list builds.
Yeah. Yep.
And so I think on West Coast part, especially the last 2 years, there's been anyone who's been fit's been getting a game. So you're not leaving there because you've got opportunity in front of you. And so if you can't get a game at West Coast, you're not going to get a game anywhere at the moment, to be frank, if you're fit. So Fremantle, on the other hand, that they have had depth. They have been challenging,
last year
they were challenging for finals and maybe a top four sport. They missed out on percentage because of the Collingwood Carlton game at the end of that year. I just think they're different things. But regardless of all of that, and I know you need to look at each contract different. You know, some people leave for more money, some more opportunity, all that. But if you do put them as a whole, that's like nine players that are in that band of guys, and they haven't had nine come back in through the door. They haven't. And you can say what you like, and okay, Jay O'Meara comes, and Will Brody's somewhere in there, and Luke Jackson's there, of course, but then, you know, Corbett's one guy I mentioned last week that they haven't added the same qualities that have been out the door. That's the problem.
Yeah, and let me say, and I've spoken to quite a few people this week, I don't think, you know, everyone mentions culture.
No.
I don't think culture is an issue at Fremantle. I think, and I haven't spoken to one of their employees, said, look, it's club first mentality. It's not like there's a fracture of personalities.
Okay.
To my knowledge, that club is united. But by the same token, the talent going out, as you said, doesn't match what's coming back in. And it's been a really bad 12 months in that sense. In terms of players, of the players that they wanted to keep, I guess, Scully, I think, I mean, Roy Lobb, he kicked 38, 37 goals in his last year at Fremantle. But he's one that I thought, okay, that's fine. Rory, you move. Most of the other players, I mean, maybe Darcy Tucker, I think they would have liked to have kept.
Yeah, Griffin Lowe, Tucker, Akers, Liam Henry. I mean, I still rate Liam Henry highly. They'd like to have kept Joel Hamling.
Yeah.
Like, he's a great backup to have on your list. You certainly want to keep Lachie Schultz. Like, yeah, I don't know. And I agree with you. This isn't a culture thing. People love throwing around that.
That's crap. It's bulldust.
There's something, is it list management? It's certainly been list management at West Coast. Like, the West Coast list is in the spot it is right now because of one circumstance and challenging and then dropping off the cliff, but it's list management. So I would say list management comes to do with contracts as well as who's in and out off your list. Like, that's an issue. That can be separate to culture.
Mm. Yeah, well, and going to West Coast, we've seen some experience go out of Fremantle. With the Eagles, we haven't heard too much. We know they're into Tyler Brockman and young player, but is there going to be a player in the next 3 or 4 days that comes out, whether it's a Elliot Yeo, Jack Darling, someone that's mentioned who's got some trade value that he's brought up? Or do you think that will be, that's, for instance, Jack Darling, how many good years of footy, and he's been an absolute star of the club, make no mistake. How many years do you think he's got left? Two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Has he got trade value?
To someone who's challenging, yes, you'd think so.
Yeah, whether it's a Melbourne, I'm just throwing a name up, Melbourne, who might need that extra.
He's not going to walk in and be the number one guy, but if you could add him next to Van Rooyen, for instance, at Melbourne, that would make sense.
Yeah, I
just don't think that's going to happen.
No, like, nor do I.
I don't think West Coast's going to move anyone else. They may. Fremantle are going to have to consider who they bring in, though. Like, I just don't think you can go through this trade period and go to the draft.
No, you need some experienced heads in the squad.
Let's move to West Coast. Plenty going on at that side of the tracks too. Will they trade the pick number one? Now, North Melbourne reportedly have put an offer on the table. Yeah, I was just having a look at what that was.
I think it was off the top of my head. I might be wrong here. 15.
Yes.
Was it 21s in there? 18?
15, 18, 21,
and a future.
End of first round next year. So yeah. North Melbourne have those picks. They also have two end of first rounders next year, plus their first rounder that they'll get for finishing wherever they finish next year. They've also got 2 and 3. So they have a bevy. That's laughable, that deal, by the way.
Yeah.
Agree?
Yeah, I know.
You're not trying to pick one for a bunch of late first rounders.
No, I mean, the one that I guess the Eagles would seriously consider, and I would as well, you give up pick one, but you get pick 2 and 3. But that's North are going to say probably no.
That was my next question. Would West Coast say yes to 2 and 3?
I think so.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, that's not enough. You're effectively giving up pick one, and let's call him Harley Reid, if it is that, and you get Dan Curtin at 2, right? Say that's the case. So all you're getting for pick one, because you just they're back and forward, you're just getting an extra whoever's pick 3, right, for pick one. I don't think that's enough for West Coast. The situation they're in, they're better off taking Reid and rolling the dice for 3 years.
On one player. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I think so.
If you're going to trade it needs to be more than 2 players.
Well, so how many players do you think they can get for that?
At a minimum, it needs to be 2, 3 plus future 15. First.
Future first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Has to be. West Coast would be terrible negotiating if they can't get more than 2 players out of a pick one. Given the currency it holds, mate, like Asava Radigalia, Port Adelaide and Geelong, Geelong's turned down pick 23 for Asava Radigalia.
Yeah.
So, and no offence to Asava, but you know he's not going to be the future of the football club. So I just think, given what we've seen over the past few years,
so what
you're not
saying,
doing anything more less than 3 players.
So what you're saying, I would just, if you're a betting man, of which I am, I would be, and you are to some degree,
yeah,
I would have thought, given if that's where you sit and maybe the Eagles sit in the same passage, I would suspect that they're most likely to take Harley Reid at 1, and unless there's something...
Nah, this deal gets done. North Melbourne. Clarkson...
Hang on, you think North gets 1?
Clarkson... If you look at his history at Hawthorn, he doesn't care about building this bevy of young players. Sometimes he does. If you Lewis, Hodge, Mitchell, all those guys, Rough Ed Franklin,
buddy,
get that. But I think, given the amount of picks he has, I think he'll be happy with some late first rounders and build them around them. And he wants the number one guy. He wants the Luke Hodge.
Okay, so what happens?
He wants one.
So what does North Melbourne, you saying they have to give up?
2, 3, future first gets the deal done.
2, 3, and a future first.
Yep. Yep, and I think it does get done. And I think North Melbourne, rightly so, why you're not going to come to the table with that at the front, are you? You're going to test the waters with West Coast. Mm. Hopefully they got laughed out of the room from West Coast point of view, because those 4 picks, although first rounders... I had a look at the first rounders at those exact picks last year. Bramble at Hawthorn was the only one that played any games out of any of those players. So I don't think West Coast does it for anything less than
that. But by the same token, if that doesn't happen for some reason and the Eagles take Harley Reid, I don't think he can be critical of them on that basis.
I don't think so. There's been some rumours over Melbourne, and shock, it's coming from Victorian media, that Harley Reid doesn't want to go to West Coast. West Coast won't pick Harley Reid at 1. They'll keep 1, pick Dan Curtin. Now, Harley Reid, our good friends over at SEN, Tim Gossage and co, spoke to Harley this morning on SEN, and this is a quote from Harley Reid. You heard this yet?
No.
You're looking at me like you haven't. To all the West Coast people listening, I don't know how many times I have to say it or how much clearer I can be. I love this, by the way.
Yeah, he's good.
I'm happy to go to the Eagles, and I'm just super grateful to be in the position I am. I'll happily come to West Coast and wear number 9.
Wear number 9?
How good is that?
Just straight up.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, and he's
Cousins, Nananui Reid. I reckon get him in here.
And the way he spoke, I also heard another grab from him talking about, I think I can come and maybe help a team like a North Melbourne or West Coast.
Well, he's going to
play
do
finals.
That. He's really.
No,
I love that. That's what he wants to do.
And he's apparently, who was I talking to? He was, I heard somewhere, might have been in discussions, can't remember where it was, in his match against, in fact, Adam Jones, I think, mentioned it yesterday, in his 18s match this year against WA, he was chirping away. He's full of
confidence,
bravado. You know, whether that gets knocked out of him to some degree at AFL level by coaches, etc.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't think it does. You look at the greats that have come through the game. Luke Hodge, massive mouth. Chris Judd could give it with the best of them. Like, if we're talking about the greats of the game, Gary Ablett used to run his mouth.
Mm.
Steve Johnson, I remember playing. You know, these guys, Steve Johnson's not a number one draft pick, but these greats of greats, James Hurd, Nathan Buckley, guarantee they're on the lip. So you have to perform at that level, to be the best in the country at something, you have to have a level of arrogance. And people look at arrogance as a bad thing. It's not. If you can back it up,
if it's
that's what it
channeled
does.
In the right direction.
It's I am the best. I'm going to be the best, and anyone else can challenge me, and I'm better than you. And that's the attitude he'll have.
Maybe the Eagles need a player like that to come in, and because they're going to be, you know, their shoulders aren't exactly, you know, up and about, and their chin's a bit down at the moment at the Eagles.
Get him in next to the boy. Imagine that, the boy, Elijah Hewitt and Harley Reid running around the midfield underneath Big Matty Flynn and Bailey Williams.
There's some, Elijah doesn't lack any confidence either. Yeah.
There's some couple of peacocks running around. Sorry about that. Now, one thing that's getting forgotten here is North Melbourne aren't the only side that might want pick one.
Mm.
I think the next best available that could come, do you know who I'm going to say?
Which club?
Yeah.
Melbourne?
Yeah.
6'11"?
6'11" and a future first. Mm. I wouldn't discount that. Does that get the deal done? Do they need a higher pick than 6?
Probably.
Because West Coast will want Dan Curtin, and if they do that deal, they'll be hoping Dan Curtin gets to 6, and does he do that?
There's no guarantee.
No, absolutely not. So they're building picks to have a crack at it. Rumours are that they are considering it. And Gold Coast, look, I don't think they're playing at one, but just listen to the picks they have this year. 23, 26, 27, 31, 35, 37, 61, 65, 70, and 73. They've got some picks.
Half their list can be filled up.
I think they've got some academy players.
They have, actually, But
they're building a bench.
The AFL is essentially, with North Melbourne, and in the case of the Gold Coast, they are saying, look, we're going to pick you up. We're going to take you almost to the promised land, but you have to do something yourselves. Is that fair enough? Just do something yourselves. We're going to give you the pot of gold.
Everything.
But just use it wisely.
Ben McKay, never heard of him. Have pick 3. Go on. Here you go. Have pick 3. Do what you want with it. Seriously. Ben McKay to Essendon, pick 3 compo. This happened over the last few days as well. Is his compensation method fair?
It's flawed.
Is it?
Absolutely. I think it is. I know North have finished down the bottom, and then I saw some examples of, you know, the compensation that Hawthorn received for Buddy Franklin going to Sydney. It's, you know, it's based on a formula, but I think there is elements. Put it this way: the average footy fan, when it comes to Ben, would be saying pick 3.
Correct.
Pick 3.
Right now, the compensation is based on the years of the contract, the age of the player, and the contract amount, and what that other side is offering him to ply them out of the current side they're in, and then whatever band it falls in, it comes in behind the current pick.
Yeah.
So if you get in the top first round band, you get pick 3 because they've got pick 2.
Two, yeah.
That's the current system. I really think there needs to be a tweak, and it needs to reflect the player. It needs to
the quality of the player.
Buddy Franklin can't be pick 19 and Ben McKay 3, and I don't care where the clubs sit, and I don't care what money's on the table. Buddy Franklin is a
great of the
generational player. You need to be compensated for that player. If Ben McKay is playing at Collingwood, right, who finish first, is he the player that he is? Is he as valuable to that side as what he is to North Melbourne? Like, is pulling Ben McKay out as big of a loss to North Melbourne as it would be to Collingwood? I just think it's around the wrong way looking after players that might, you know, Asava Radigalea, if he was plucked out, he's not a top tier thing. But if he gets offered enough years and enough money, then suddenly Geelong get this incredible compensation for him. I think that's where the AFL's got this wrong. It needs to reflect the player, what they've done, what they can do, the potential. Now, clearly there'll be some issues around how you do that, But that's my thoughts, Skater.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Yeah, I think you've summed it up pretty well.
Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shoulder Footy Cast. There's been some other trades to go through. Skater, thought we'd just go through and give our quick little thoughts on what's going on there. Brodie Grundy to Sydney. We knew this was happening. D's received pick 46 and a future second. Good business from Sydney. They've been active.
Yeah, they have. When you put Taylor Adams off the back of that, Joel Hamling.
Pick 33 for Taylor Adams.
Yep.
Joel Hamling walks there for free.
Dylan Stevens goes.
Gone. And James Jordan.
I call him Jordan James, which I've done before.
James Jordan as well. So they've added Taylor Adams, James Jordan, Brodie Grundy, Joel Hamling.
Yeah. And the good thing about Sydney, and I know the AFL loves having Sydney competitive, the horse isn't sitting back thinking, oh, we've made a grand final, we've played a final series the following year, but we're on the slide. He's loading up. They must think their premiership window is very much alive. And I think hopefully Grundy gets a run at it. Hopefully he plays some good footy. I reckon he's handled himself really well during a tough time. Taylor Adams, interesting that he actually had a meeting with Sydney grand final week, which seems a little strange given, you know, his allegiances to Collingwood at that stage. But I don't think in the modern footy, in modern sport, it is not as unusual as what it has been in the AFL in the past. Footy's caught in the dark ages, has been for a while when it comes to that, the changing of clubs, etc.
Brodie Grundy walks out the door of Melbourne. They don't pay a dollar of his contract. So if you remember, he walked from Collingwood to Melbourne, and Melbourne have to pay some of... He leaves Melbourne. Melbourne have just... See you later. Hands. Collingwood's still paying for him.
Yeah.
And Sydney have the other bit. So that's interesting, I thought.
Well, Melbourne, yeah, they make a mistake in essence because the experiment didn't work, and they get away with that. But they're, apart from, you'd think of clubs trying to work their way up the order in terms of the draft, it is Melbourne that looks really proactive with what they're doing. Sydney's been, look, you think of that centre square next year with Sydney. It's
well, they're missing Callum Mills.
Well, for a fair chunk of it, but yeah. but that's a pretty imposing centre square formation if Brodie plays the footy that he can.
Parker, Warner, Goulden, Adams. Rowbottom, our man.
Our man, right. That's some real talent there.
Yeah, absolutely.
How are they going to work their forward line and other areas down back? Obviously, Joel Hamling comes into the mix.
But he'll go straight to fullback.
Yeah, as long as he's fit and healthy. Yeah,
correct. He plays straight away, right?
I would have thought if he doesn't have any injuries off season.
Todd Goldstein has gone to Essendon, an unrestricted free agent. They add him for the time they're going to miss Draper. Draper's had surgery. There's a potential he misses part of the first part of the season. Todd Goldstein, who's played under Brad Scott before, Brad Scott would know what he's about as a person, as a leader. He's got him in as a stopgap.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's not on big money. No. He's old as shit, and he's coming in, and he's going to get in there, battle. He just needs to compete, and I think it's a pretty good pickup.
I think he'll do his job. There's talk that Collingwood were having a chat to him, obviously, you know, given what we've just seen this year, that may have been if you're looking for success, that's at least on face value, that Collingwood's going to win another premiership before Essendon does at this point. But, yeah, Essendon, I think, is a pretty good fit for him, given Draper's issues. And, the Bombers, I'm still not quite sure what they're going to look like next year, but they're being proactive.
James Harms walks to the Western Bulldogs for a future third. Look, he wasn't getting a game at Melbourne at stages this year, so good pickup. I think he's a good player. I've played on him a few times. Could be a decent role player for the Bulldogs in terms of being that in-between. He's not big enough to be a key forward, but not small enough to be a small. He can be a target, he can mark, but he's also a pretty good below his knees. Western Bulldogs... Just watch the coaching ranks over the next little bit. So just a little bit of mail come across the desk. They've missed out on a couple of guys. I think they have made a hire. Can't say who it is, but you heard it here first on the Shelter Footy Cast. Dylan Stevens, as we mentioned. Oh, what?
Assistant coaches, you mean?
Yeah, okay. That's right.
That's fine. There's a bit of pressure on the senior coach as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, you win a premiership, that gives you a lot of currency for a fair while, which is fair enough. But you look at what their list, and they're clearly... The way they've recruited in the last 12 to 18 months, they think they're premiership material again, which is fair enough. They're bloated up in their tools and their forward line. Their midfield's pretty good. Their defence is probably a couple of question marks against it, but they miss finals, which is a disaster, I would have thought, for the Dogs, given the list they have.
Yeah, especially the midfield, because as much as I carry on about the back line and as much as you need to kick goals, we've seen sides, like Collingwood, for instance, They don't have these superstar key forwards. They can get the job done with a good midfield that plays their role. Zach Fisher and picks 17 traded to North Melbourne for picks 21 and 25. Yeah. Take it away.
Well, he's gone from a team, as you said last week, that he was at a club that was and played in a prelim final, and now going back to North, where they're, you know, the questions, there are more questions about them than answers at this stage. But there may be more opportunity for Zach, and maybe a change of role. And we know he's a small forward; he's played a bit of half back this year. But boy from Guildford Grammar, hopefully, and from Perth, hopefully he gets a good run and plays some good footy.
Todd Goldstein, we mentioned to Essendon, and they're flaring up a bit here. Matty Rosa maybe pulling some strings behind the scenes. Probably not, though, with Dodoro still yapping his mouth in the media. I've seen him a lot, actually, yeah, so far. So might be time to leave, I reckon.
What about Stephen Wells? Like, Stephen Wells is the godfather or the gun. He just goes under the radar, never hear from him. But again, to be fair to Dodoro, he's been asked to talk, and he has. And
it honestly doesn't seem like he gives one F. He couldn't care less, I reckon. He's like, yeah, I'll say what I want. Yeah. I'm out the door anyway. Xavier Dersma is linked to Essendon. So I was talking about Essendon. Jade Gresham requests a trade to Essendon. So they've both requested trades. I think they're both very good players. Xavier Dersma, an outside runner, wingman. Potential that his brother gets picked up by Essendon. Of course, we don't know what happens there, but mentioned during the week that he'd love to play with his brother, who's highly touted, top five draft pick, Xavier Dersma's brother. You know his first name?
I've read it this week, but I've forgotten.
Thank you.
What is it?
I don't know.
I thought you were doing a little test there.
Well, absolutely, it was a test because I was trying to cover my own ass. Jade Gresham's a good player. He's going to go to Essendon. So they're moving. Harrison Petty linked to Adelaide.
From Melbourne, yes.
And Zane. I was going to fucking...
Sorry. Zane and Xavier. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that okay?
The parents have just worked the back end of the alphabet to get themselves a couple of sons' names. Well, it is Zane and Xavier, X, Y, Z.
How did you come up with your kids' names?
Olivia, because I loved Olivia Newton-John. I did. I like Olivia. It's a popular name. Olivia Chloe, and then there's Georgia. My wife picked that, Georgia Rose. So
you got one. You actually got a pick or not?
Well, I didn't initially. I didn't. When I was born, Olivia was actually Chloe. And I said, no, I prefer Olivia. And so as my wife's just trying to recover after giving birth to twins, yes. I was looking for some breakfast, actually, and couldn't find that. So I thought I'd change one of the names of the daughters, the twins. And she's gasping for air. My wife said, can I have some veggie toast? And I'm serious. I asked them, and they said, no, we're going to feed your wife before we feed you, Mr. Reddings.
I can just see you sitting in the corner going, can we get some service
exactly.
What is this?
Yeah, well, so she's, my wife's okay. The kids are healthy. Let's just get on with it. Let's let you go home and have a breather.
A little respect, for I am Costanza, Lord of the Idiots.
Well, how did you pick your son's names?
I don't know. I can't remember.
No, at least I have some idea.
I didn't pick them off a pop star. I can tell you that right now. Oh, this is too good.
I'll tell you what, quickly, what I did see last couple of nights, you should watch it, the Beckham documentary on Netflix. Really good.
I've heard.
Good, good, good.
Very?
Get amongst it. Yeah,
that's... I've seen one clip where...
Poor prick. It absolutely slaughtered after a World Cup, and it was a red card. Anyway, I won't spoil it.
But like Posh Beckham, the one I've seen, she's talking about Posh Beckham, Victoria Beckham, big Spice Girls fan.
Yeah. I've seen them in concert.
Have you?
Yeah. I saw them at the closing ceremony of the London Olympics.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Are they good? Who's your favourite?
I like Baby Spice, the blonde-haired bird. Yeah, the blonde-haired girl, yeah.
So she goes, oh, we're both from working class families, and Beckham's like in the background like, tell the truth.
Exactly.
And she's like, well, so I was answering, he cuts her off about five times, and she's like, dad drove a Rolls Royce. He's like, thank you, shut the door.
He's good, he's pretty good.
That's hilarious. Harrison Petty, heavily linked to Adelaide. Look, he's a Dower defender, just so we know. He played forward this year for Melbourne. He's a big-time lockdown key defender. They've lost Dudo.
Yeah, but
he's a South Australian, and Melbourne are playing hardball on this one.
Yeah, well, they've got, obviously, May and Lever down back, but he actually solved a couple of issues in attack, whether that's the long-term solution for Melbourne. I don't think so.
He's not a forward.
But Adelaide... That solves a big issue for them, doesn't it? And Petty providing... what he had the foot issue. What's it called?
Liz Frank.
Yeah, I think he had that later this year. So that's an interesting one. I think Adelaide can be a a real move next year if they get their pieces right.
So do I. Geelong talking about playing hardball. Like you said, Stephen Wells is just sitting there with his crystal ball, just like, oh, you want to Savo Radicalea, do you? Port's offered them pick 23 and he says no, which is hilarious. They just continue. They're just the best performed team ever in trade period. Tom Hawkins still yet to re-sign.
Surely not going to Melbourne. There's talk of Melbourne having an inquiry or two. I think he's been offered around 400, whatever the case.
At Geelong.
Yeah, now that's, I'm just reading that.
It was still a pretty good form last year. Did hamstrings late, which is an issue.
He's 8 games off passing Joel Selwood. He's a legend of the club. You just don't want to see him like a Dougie Hawkins finish off from Footscray to Fitzroy.
Yeah, but Dougie won a premiership. He's done plenty at Geelong. We've seen Hodge, Mitchell, Lewis, all these guys do the same at Hawthorn.
Yeah, true. But
maybe he wants to stack the bank account a little more.
He's not going to get absolute fortune going to Melbourne for a year, is he?
I'd pay him a lot if I was Melbourne. Yeah. Would you not pay him a lot?
I'd pay him.
Be a best forward by about 20, 30 goals, I reckon.
I'd pay him what he's worth. And he, but I just think.
600? 700?
Not 700. I mean,
600?
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, but that's surely Geelong.
I'll give him a text.
They'll write if they let him go.
I'll give him a text. We'll see where he's going. Will Schofield, Mark Rennings, Shuttle Footy Cast. There's a bunch of other players potentially on the move. I'm going to read them out right now. You guys can follow along at home. Mabior Chole, Jacob Kaczynski, Elliot Himmelberg, Orazio Fantasia, Jack Billings, Shane McAdam, Brandon Zach Thatcher, Jordan Sweet, Paddy Dow, Liam Henry, Elijah Hollins, Tyler Brockman, Tom Fullerton, Ollie Lord. None of them have been done, but apparently they are rumoured to be moving. Let's play along at home, and we'll see you Monday about that. Port Adelaide held their best and fairest, the John Cahill medal. Not sure. They mustn't have been able to get the convention centre in Adelaide or whatever.
Yeah, I'm
not sure
how late. A month and a half of... they must have planned grand final weekend celebrations, did they?
Correct. Zach Butters wins that on 190 votes. So, that's a lot. It's not... There's
not
800. No, 850. Errol Gordon was on. But Zach Butters wins from Connor Rosie and Dan Houston. I think that's pretty fair. All of those great players, especially Butters and Rosie, their years this year was outstanding.
Yep.
AFLW, who's playing who over here in the West? Fremantle play Geelong at Cadinia Park. That'll be a difficult trip. I can tell you that right now, Skeeter.
Yeah, Fremantle's forward line is almost non-existent at the moment, unfortunately. So, and Kiara Bowers, her knee is not getting any better, I believe.
If you're missing, so Kiara Bowers, Fremantle's best player, has been out with stress in her knee and bone bruising. I'll tell you right now, that's not a good thing.
No, she's in trouble. Well, as you say,
she'll have fractures and stuff through her knees, which is just horrific, and she'll need to stay off.
She's their best player.
Correct, by a long way. West Coast v Melbourne, Sunday, Lath Lane. I'll be calling this one with Fox Footy. Skeeter, are you calling this one?
I'll do it for 6 PR, so looking forward. Yeah. It's going to be 34 degrees,
great facilities. Shorts. Great facilities in the Lath Lane stand.
Oh, it's worse than Fremantle Oval.
Oh, mate, I reckon it's pretty bad up there.
Mate, it was like a stand. Sauna.
Well,
anyway, there's going to be hopefully some hot chips and
we're going to get to that.
Come on, we're going
to
go.
But yeah, we do actually have to go. Cricket World Cup, Australia, South Africa tonight, 4:30.
Cam Green might get left out of the side because Marcus Stoinis is fit. Cam's he's just played so much cricket. He's a real talent. He's their future. But he just ran out of gas. His form's not great. I think they'll give him a breather tonight. Aussies can't win the World Cup, in my opinion. No chance. We don't have the spin bowling options that other nations do. And our batting lineup, including Smith and Labuschagne, who are outstanding batters, but not in the short form. I think there's too much of a sameness. So I just don't think we've got the weapons to win the World Cup. And look, I hope we make the semis, but I'm not confident about that either.
Well, there you go. Heard it here first. Will Schofield, Mark Redding, Shelter Footycast. Let's finish off with some questions, Skeeter, from our beloved fans.
Thought
we love
some
this.
Questions already.
Well, that wasn't a question, was it? It was just a statement. It was a statement from Liv.
It was an absolute drive-by.
Keep them coming. Thank you, Liv. And if you do, see Skeet in the Wild, I would like some more of those.
In the Wild?
Yeah, Skeet in the Wild. It's a new segment. Socials, Shelter Footycast. Just send us through a picture or whatever. We'd love to feature it over there. Or footycast@shelterbrewing.com.au. Some Skeeter stories. It would be beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
They would be beautiful. Now, boys, a lot of talk these days about contracts not meaning anything. When a player signs a deal and then is dealt before the end of their contract, when a player is traded to a new club, does their contract and its team, its value term, roll over to the new club and stay the same, or is it renegotiated with the new club? Thanks, Adam.
Well, I think the Brodie Grundy case is a really
correct
good point to make when it comes to comparing. Like, as you say, Collingwood are still paying his bill. Even though Sydney will take up some of the slack, Melbourne, and I'm not sure how that deal was done, but that's an example of clubs still having to... I mean,
it's renegotiated.
Right. It is renegotiated, but contracts, I agree, they can be worth nothing. But at the end of the day, whoever takes over, there is still a price to pay.
There's... The reason that Collingwood has to pay that deal, because they did the deal in the first place. Yes. And so they wanted him out. They'd done the deal. So Brodie Grundy and his management go, okay, fair enough. You want me out. You want to, but I'm not going to Melbourne for less 500 money. Grand less. Mm. So to get them there, and Melbourne aren't going to pay him what he was paid at Collingwood. To get them there, they need to do a deal with Collingwood to get that deal done.
A price sort of...
The term and value and anything like that doesn't carry over. But if you just think about it, and a player's getting traded, they're not getting traded most of the time for less money. Very rarely would the other club have to pay like Collingwood did, but they'd done the deal and then they wanted to move him. So that's why that happened.
And Graham Wright was said as much recently that they put that deal in place and they knew it. They knew they had to fill the obligation.
It's not goodwill, but it's almost goodwill from Collingwood being like, okay, if we need to get this done, we need to fork out.
Yeah.
And so if they had to pay 200 grand of 800 grand contract, it's 600 grand less than they would have had to pay, so they eat it. And they're still eating it, having a good taste of that, while they're also munching down on a premiership medal. Max Hansen, Maxi does all the timestamps for the Shelter Footy Cast. So big shout out, Maxi. Big bloody shout out. Do you know what timestamp is,
Kevin? No idea.
James.
Timestamps.
James Jordan. It's not something you put on envelopes, Kevin. I can tell you that.
That's
right.
That's what I was
now.
Thinking.
Yeah, I know. James Jordan was a premiership player for the D's in 2021, but he was the medical sub and didn't play at all.
We talked about.
2021 was the first year having the substitute after bringing it back. But it was only a medical substitute instead of a tactical one, so it could only be used if a player was injured. Legend is that James Harms tried to pretend he was injured so Jordan could play, but the doctors wouldn't let him.
Now, I heard that, and I reckon that's a true story, which was so good of James Harms to try and get one of his mates a medal, not a legitimate medal, by playing some time. So, yeah, I do recall that story, and maybe that goes to the character of James Harms.
Fire Horde writes in and says, can we get a bit of love for Piastri in the F1? Been going very well.
Yes, that's you're more F1
look,
man.
Look,
I've
switched off a bit from the F1.
Because you're not travelling around Amsterdam?
I find them a little bit petulant, to be honest. The boys over at the F1, a bit of me, a bit of money. I've sort of just soured on the whole competition, actually, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
But he's going well. His podium last time around and... racing with McLaren, as you can tell.
Of chatting to him at some stage or not fussed about it?
Probably don't play him that sort of line I've just rolled out there. But yeah, I'd love to have a chat to him.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you sort that out?
I'm not really a motor racing man. I'm the bloke that got the RAC to come out and help me with my car when I had it in D. So I'm not really, I'm not the person to talk about with motor racing.
Firehorde also says, I loved Mr. Redding's, wow. I also love Mr. Redding's commentary on the WA boys in the big win against the Vics. What's that? What's this? Cricket? Was it cricket?
Yeah. Sheffield Shield, yeah.
Another Sheffield Shield fan.
Yeah, no, mate, they're coming out of the woodwork. I did used to commentate for Channel 9 back in the day with,
Richie Hughes Banner?
And, no, local boys, Kim Hughes and Bill Nick Malone, Bruce Yardley, guys you
Tony
would have heard. No, it's a local. It's called Local Production. We did it really well and had a lot of fun. And thank you for the feedback.
You don't like it.
But I'm getting some compliments and seeing you get whacked.
I like this one. This is the last one in regards to the Skeeter Chips eating video that we put up on socials. If you didn't see it, at Shelter Footycast is where you find that.
How do I actually get involved so I can throw some mud back? Jaden.
Do a shout out.
Do some work for me. Seriously, because this bloke here is probably going to be poleaxed at the Charles Hotel on Friday night. Just someone take a video when he's not watching, if he's doing something a bit stupid, just to keep us in the loop.
I'll give you a little sneak preview. I'm introducing the band up on the stage.
Of course you are, what? No, was it a drink carb with that or something?
Drink carb. Kobe Campbell, on the back of your eating chips video, Kobe was at Fremantle Oval.
Was he?
And again, this is Skeet in the Wild. I saw Skeeter, actually. Saw him in the club rooms just before this. He was absolutely shoveling them in as if the chips were going out of fashion. Was that your second bucket?
The reason I was shoveling them in was because there was a pre-record interview on 6PL. I had 6 minutes, and I was just trying to, just turn the bucket upside down and just basically inhale it. If my wife had seen that, I don't think she'd have been letting me in back in the house that night.
Have a good weekend, Skeeter. Shelter Footycast. My wife's in Bali. The kids are in Mandra. I'm ripping the lid.
It's going to be an absolute sideshow, debacle.
Can you get me into the box at the race?
It's a director's lounge. I'll check.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.